You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Well, good morning and welcome to the Dave Mahoney Morning Show. Got some good news and some bad news to start the show today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, let's get today's show going with some bad news.
Oh, man, this is some bad news. This poor cat, back to a life of crime. A local court in Russia currently hearing a case in which a cat was allegedly used to smuggle drugs into a prison colony.
Okay.
The cat was then seized as physical evidence during the investigation, but the cat has escaped.
So,
what's going to happen?
Is there like a manhunt? Is there a giant cat hunt going on in Russia now for this drug smuggling cat? The El Chapo of cats? El Cato?
Funny that you
That's what his name should
be. Funny that you mentioned El Chapo. We'll actually talk about him a little bit later. But the cat has been described as a cat with black, white, and gray shades in its fur, classified as physical evidence and transferred to a holding area in a petting zoo. And this cat has escaped. Now, the cat was there for over a year, so it was actually put in the petting zoo in August of 2018. This month, September 2019, the defense attorney visited the petting zoo to familiarize himself with the evidence, and he was told that the cat had run away and is no longer available to be seen.
This month?
So, again, the cat... back to a life of crime, and that's terrible news. I can only assume.
I feel like this is good news. You're always talking about how you love it when animals escape, like a bull gets out or a cow escapes or whatever. Now this cat has, you know, he has fled. He's living
He didn't choose the burglary life.
This cat is now on the lam, and you're over here trying to bring him back to justice. You want that cat to spend the rest of his life in a penal colony? A cat spending the rest of its life in a penal colony, Dave. Think of the madness.
Well, some good news today as well. A woman was choking.
I've seen that movie.
Yeah, right. I think we all have. A woman was choking at an intersection and got saved by a motorist that was right behind them. So a woman started choking at an intersection in Traverse City, got out of her vehicle because she was choking, and the vehicle behind her had a driver who quickly called 911. But thankfully, the person in the vehicle behind her also knew the Heimlich maneuver because the cops were taking quite some time to get there. And so, sure enough, walked up, Heimlich maneuver, bam.
Wow.
Ian. And supposedly, to make it even better, did it all nonchalantly. Just sort of like moseyed on up, pop, there you go, saved your life.
Do we know what she was choking on? Because how do you start choking in your car?
Right. I'm thinking it was an everlasting gobstopper.
I That's eat all me. The time in my car. I could choke at any moment.
I mean, it had to have been a hard candy, though, right? Because normally what you're eating in your car is like a
tacos.
Basically a bag of mush from a fast food place. So,
Or like a quesadilla, Chipotle, burrito bowl.
Never heard of anybody
burrito
choking.
Bowls while driving?
Oh.
I'm a man.
Well, you heard it here first.
There you go.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
I'm a woman of many talents, while driving only, with my knees.
Do you put makeup on while you drive as well?
I have.
I feel like that's so dangerous, though.
It is. Living life in the fast lane.
Whatever you say, bro.
Shut up.
I just imagine it was like a fry. Instead of the high look, like, if you're not moving, sir. I'm just going to ram into the back of you. No, I was trying to do the Heimlich with my car.
I've seen that movie, too.
Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, Mahoney, you are my hero. You're like my Tony Stark, boy. I'll tell you what, you have introduced me to some fine craft beers. I really got to watch myself drinking these damn things, especially some Voodoo at 9%. Kind of gets crazy. I appreciate all these reviews and listen to your podcast. People out there, be careful. That 7.5, 9% beer will get you. You won't even realize it.
Message deleted.
Well, first off, thank you, and I love you 3,000. I love you 3,000. I feel like it's, you know, craft beer is, it's growing, but we've kind of hit a plateau in the world of craft beer. We've been doing beer for breakfast well over 10 years, and we've drank a lot of beers, and it's just a fun way to make a problem look like a hobby.
Yeah, I mean, craft beer isn't quite as trendy as it used to be.
No.
That's
but there's
beer.
Somebody on... Yeah, it's just beer, right? But there was somebody on social media the other day that said that IPAs are just White Claws for white dudes.
Yeah.
That felt very accurate to me.
Wow.
I feel like that's, why you got to be exclusionary on that? I think IPAs are for everybody. They're phenomenal. A hazy IPA, I'll admit it. You know,
It's the
basic dude beer. For sure, because it's so good. But that's the problem. It's so good, and they go down so easy. Speaking of that, we will have another brand new beer coming up in just a couple hours. Today, we are doing the Bell's Porter. So we haven't done a porter in a long time, and Audrey is a big fan of the porters and stouts. So.
I was really hoping we'd do another IPA today just to see her have to chug it.
It was so...
because she wanted to get rid of it. She didn't want to drink it, so instead of not drinking it, she just slammed it last Friday morning.
I was taught you have to finish everything on your plate because there are starving kids somewhere else who won't get to try that Voodoo IPA 9%. I was not going to let it go to waste.
Voodoo Ranger.
Voodoo Ranger.
Double Imperial.
Double IPA.
Yeah, that was a double IPA.
Scary. Which,
respect.
Okay.
Respect.
Please leave a message after the tone.
I'll be honest. I get a simple satisfaction every time I look at my cashback rewards for my credit card. I spend $200 and I get $2 back. Hell yeah. Kind of makes me feel better about spending money.
Message deleted.
You need to get a better cashback rewards card. I mean, you should be getting minimum like 1.5% cashback. Some places even up to 3 or 4.
Tell me more.
I don't really know. My wife does all that. I don't. She's much better. She keeps track of like right now we're getting 6% back if we go to this place. And I'm like, she keeps track of all that. I don't have time.
Dang, I need something like that because right now I'm just owing and owing and owing and owing and owing
and you're,
owing and owing and owing and owing money.
Dave, in your family, is it your wife or you who keeps track of those rewards and stuff? Like,
yeah. So funny that you mentioned that. I'm not great with money, but somehow my wife is even worse. So. So we pour.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
I'll say, at least Audrey and I have spouses that, like, you know,
oh God,
like
responsible spouses.
Yeah.
God. We're just flying by the seat of our pants, but we're having fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So there are a total of 618,000 millennial millionaires that live in the United States.
Oh, cool.
And 44% of them live in one state. Any guess?
California.
It's not here because not here.
My guess is California.
I'm not a millionaire.
It's California. And it's
California,
because...
New York. That would be the only two that would make sense. Maybe Seattle.
Chicago?
I mean, Seattle's not a state, but you know,
city.
Washington.
Yeah.
It's all the tech, right? So
yeah.
it's all the kids that, you know, have come out with, you know, apps that have broken through. And, I mean, you think of the big ones, the Facebooks, the Instagrams, the Snapchat, stuff like that. But there's also a lot of other really successful apps to make somebody a millionaire, not necessarily a billionaire like, you know, the Zuckerbergs of the world and everything else. But, 44% of millennial millionaires all live in California.
But they define millionaire as somebody who has a net worth of $1 million. Which is drastically different than having $1 million in the bank.
Yes, way different.
Because your retirement plan, your assets, your house, those things all count towards being a quote-unquote millennial heir.
Millennial heir.
Yeah, millennial heir. Should we just millennial
sure.
heir?
Hashtag.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Nice mashup.
New York comes in at number two, so you're right on that also. Yep. 14% of the millennial millionaires are in New York. This is interesting.
Millennial heirs, Dave.
Yeah.
We dubbed that.
The top zip code for millionaires, though, not California or New York. It's Traverse City, Michigan.
Does anybody know a zip code other than a zip code that they've lived in and or 90210? I can't.
Nope. Yes.
I mean, I know I can string like five numbers together, but I wouldn't know where it was. But outside of like zip codes
only,
that
only
I've
because,
lived in.
Only because New York City, they're all like 100 and...
Yeah, you start with one.
10017, yeah. For
oh,
example.
Oh, really? That's a fun fact. Yeah. Did not know that.
Okay.
But Traverse City, Michigan, which is a tourist destination, it's a Lake Michigan beach town, has a robust second home market where luxury homes generally start at about $500,000. Far cry from what it costs to live in Silicon Valley, but a lot of millennials. They own second homes in Traverse City, Michigan.
Okay.
And a lot of the houses there
are
between $500,000 and $2 million. But, yeah, nice place to go during the summer,
Ian,
I guess.
Have you been to Traverse City?
Yeah, I adore Traverse City. It's
Is it a quaint, nice town?
Yeah, it really is. And it's really expensive, but it's a nice kind of ways away from the city.
Is it like an old money area? You know what I'm talking about? Like historical homes, orchards.
A $500,000 for a house in Michigan. That better
That's
be.
That's on the low end, by the way. They're $500,000 to $2 million.
Because it's not like, I mean, I get like places like Aspen or Park City that, you know, you've got all the, or even you go up to Tahoe where you've got all this like skiing and stuff, but there's no mountains in Michigan. Right?
No, but
they got lakes.
It's still
the summer
nice,
months
though.
Are great.
Yeah, it's still nice though, Mahoney. Jeez,
whatever. You can go skiing in Michigan.
All I know is I think of when
it's
you say Traverse City, I just think of that the Chevy Traverse. You know, there's just
really?
A bunch of like
really?
Large SUVs.
There's just a
driving.
Bunch of like weird shaped SUVs driving around.
Which I will say though, they even though those cars are ugly as hell, very versatile. The third row seat, a lot of room back there, Dave.
Would you call them traversatile?
Oh!
Don't try to. We've already established millennial. We got to stop. Okay.
So,
I'm calling the cops.
So the Mexican government is got into a shootout. I don't know if you guys saw the videos of this. It is insane. So El Chapo's son was being captured. His name is Joaquin Guzman, and it was a huge gun battle that was raging in the streets on Thursday, and. Yeah, obviously the cartel still has a ton of power, even though El Chapo is locked up. Everything else,
they've got basically
members
down there.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it was. It was a shootout that looked like a war zone. 30 members of the National Guard, the militarized police, were patrolling in the area of the city, which is about 370 miles northwest of Mexico City, and they were fired on from a house. Authorities fired back, eventually able to enter the house where they found four cartel members inside, including the son of El Chapo. And that's when the gun battle raged, and they ended up having to abandon the cops got pushed back to the point where they had to flee without El Chapo's son.
That's wild. The fact that if you've got 30 National Guard and you're getting outgunned by another group, by the cartel, like that is scary stuff, right? Like when we think about our day-to-day problems here in America, you know, one of the things that we don't have to worry about are large gangs that are basically fighting the, you know, that have the manpower and the firepower to fight the government, right?
Crazy. It's crazy.
It is. Also, like, we would have thought, because El Chapo has escaped from, like, a maximum security prison down in Mexico once before, like, if you're going to go after him, I mean, maybe they didn't know he was there and they just ended up finding him. But if you're going to go there, like, you need basically a whole, like, battalion to, like, get these dudes corralled.
I love that you just called him Chapo.
Whatever. Whatever. It's pronounced and spelled the same, C-H-A-P-O, Chapo.
Mm-hmm.
Chapo.
Whatever, man. I like a hard A, if you know what I'm saying. Hi-oh.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So here we go. It's time for an all-new blooper reel. Mahoney, how do you think you did this week?
Oh, I'm sure I was perfect as always. You know, then when you've been a broadcaster as long as I have, and you're making the millions and millions of dollars like I do, it's hard not to be perfect.
Right, yeah. None of that's true. Audrey?
Out of 10? I feel like I was a wordsmith at a 7 level.
7 level. All right. So this is a little collaboration of some of our not-so-fine moments from this past week. It's an all-new blooper reel here on the Dave Mahoney Morning Show.
It's the... That's the blooper reel.
the fisherman, whose name also Bob, said that he was fishing with his son and his wife out on Flathead Lake when they spotted a Bob hat. He was fishing with his son and his wife out on Flathead Lake when they spotted a Bob hat. And then they put a microphone in front of LeBron James's face, who is set for life. As rich as you could possibly imagine, and then some.
One of the richest athletes ever.
Yeah, it's dry ice, right?
Yeah, it's dry ice.
But it wasn't fully evaporated, so she was sitting there drinking it. But it wasn't fully evaporated.
That is not fast food.
He recently got a hero plate and two Mexican Cokes for lunch.
A gyro.
What did I say? Hero? A hero play.
You know how a lot of rappers out there and singers
for letting us know.
Buy Bentleys and stuff? Yeah. He bought a very economical Subaru Crosstrek.
Have you heard about the all-new Subaru Crosstrek with the new suspension package? If you buy one, you'll be riding smooth in no time.
Do you feel like you've been, like, peak lazy this week or, like, mediocrely?
When they spotted a Bob hat.
They very economical Subaru Crosstrek.
But it wasn't fully evaporated.
One of the richest athletes ever.
I would just like to point out that I did not misspeak when I told or when I said.
Oh, okay. Really?
LeBron James was an athlete.
Oh, really?
Nailed it.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Spot on.
Jumping on a trampoline.
Stop stories.
Here's what's making news.
Well, so the story's been circulating for several days now about this family that was living in this basement and these kids. Were they captive? Were they not? They said that one escaped and got to a local bar and slammed some beers and then said that they were being held captive, but they didn't really know how to talk. And now we know that the father was involved and he's actually being charged with their abuse. So these kids, five kids, lived for 9 years in the basement, and the dad's not just being charged with their abuse, but also with money laundering.
Oh.
Gert Van Dorsten, 67, charged alongside his fellow Mooney sect member, Josef Brunner, the handyman that lived next door, is also charged with removing the liberty of individuals. It comes after it was revealed that both these people are part of the Mooney cult. And, Otter, you're familiar with the Mooney cult?
So, only because I've watched something on cults on Hulu before, and the Mooneys have been around for kind of a while, but they've transitioned into more aggressive, and it's actually, like, more about kind of like the end of times and protecting yourself and like with like guns and assault rifles. It's a lot different than what it started out as. But yeah, it's pretty interesting.
I don't get why, if the end of times are coming and everybody's going to die, why, like, what makes you think you are going to live? We're all weak pieces of garbage. You know, it's like, it's not like we are, there's like maybe like one person who's going to survive, but the rest of us, We are all just gonna die. Like, I would much rather go just super quick in the end of times. I don't want to drag it out.
Church, if you're not familiar with the Moonies, was founded by a South Korean pastor who declared himself the Messiah back in the 1950s.
Oh, you can do that.
It was actually brought to the Netherlands in 1965, and they you know, has had a number of people that have joined the Moonies ever since. They said that they found a large amount of cash in this farmhouse where these kids were being held. And it is believed that the money came from donations from the Moonies.
Yeah, so you have to kind of like pay your way into this cult, actually. It's kind of...
Yeah, that's what they're all about. They're all about sex and or money. That's why you start a cult.
Isn't that kind of how a lot of cults and religions are?
Every cult. Every cult is either
about religion.
Tithes just in general.
Every cult is sex or money. Yeah. And how you can get it and how you can control other people to benefit you more. Every cult in the history of cults ever.
Not really backing up the Moonies, but the mom and dad in the initial family weren't as aggressive as the son who now is kind of overseeing the cult as an entirety. Like, he has definitely transformed this into a, like, it didn't used to be about guns and protecting yourself against the government and hiding out in basements kidnapping children.
You're just combining things now. You're combining, you know, an anti-establishment, anti-government view along with doomsday prepping with along with the world coming to an end. You're just wrapping it all into one ball of crazy.
The government isn't a big enough enemy, then it's just the entire world is against you, and it's all coming to an end. So yeah,
and living in a basement in a farmhouse is gonna
just give me all of your money and all of your women, and then everything will be fine.
Well,
right?
So glad they were able to get out of that basement, man. Like, goodness gracious. Kidding, man.
Nuts. So TurboTax sucks. It turns out that the owner of TurboTax spent 20 years. What?
I use TurboTax.
You do too. Yeah.
Do you want me to explain why you use TurboTax?
Easy.
Because the owner of TurboTax spent 20 years lobbying the IRS and Congress to stop people from being able to file their taxes for free. So they bribed a bunch of politicians. And as a result, it makes it more difficult to file your taxes
electronically for free. You can do it on paper, fine.
Sure.
Yeah, and I did that for years. I did for years until TurboTax came out. Then I started using TurboTax.
Until computers came along. But same thing. The software industry was stonewalling the government's efforts to offer free tax filing services to individuals for the past 20 years. For 20 years,
I believe it. Of course,
they've been lobbying, and it's because they want to get their piece of the pie. They want to be able to be the middleman and charge people to file their taxes electronically.
But
so,
how much do we pay for, like, what would we pay somebody else to do it?
Depends on if you go to like an H&R Block or Jackson Hewitt, it's more expensive than going with TurboTax. So that's why I've always just used TurboTax myself.
I think I pay for the convenience of it, not necessarily because
it's a great product. I just don't want to get audited.
Yeah, fair.
So it's like, let's do this. It's done. It's quick. It's better than my math skills. So let's do that. And it's cheaper than going to like a CPA, you know.
So frequent drinking is a bigger risk to your health than binge drinking, according to a new study.
Crap.
No, yeah. You're dead, Dave.
Uh-oh.
Oh, y'all.
The low murmurs in the room. Okay.
Oh, all y'all. Mahoney's like, no, I'm cool because
when I'm a binge drinker.
I drink, I get hammered, but it's very rarely.
It's rare.
It's
not on a regular basis,
Having a couple of glasses of wine on a given night.
Mm-hmm. I just choose to have all my monthly allotment at once.
So which of these studies do we believe, right?
None of them.
Like, a glass or two of wine a night is okay, but then prolonged drinking obviously is not good for you. Drinking heavily is great for you now, apparently, as opposed to long-term drinking.
Here's what I believe, and here's what I think we all should just take into account for 1 second. No matter what you do, no matter how healthy you are, no matter how clean you eat, no matter how little you drink, in the end, you are going to die no matter what. So live your life. Does be happy.
Make you really kind of pissed off for all your healthy habits, or at least what you try to have as healthy habits, when you see the 97-year-old that has been smoking 2 packs of cigarettes a day and guzzling whiskey, and they're just sitting at the bar and they're like, there is no secret. It's just dumb luck. And it's true.
Yeah,
I mean, like, how many healthy people do you know that get really sick? Yeah.
Lots of them, you know? I mean, like, I would probably be dead today if modern medicine didn't exist. The fact that, you know, when my gallbladder got stuck with gallstones and I got gangrene from Dave Farah.
Thankfully, I saved your life.
No, you caused gangrene. You gave me gangrene,
Dave. I saved your
life.
You had gangrene and I exposed it and
that's
I saved
not,
your life.
That's not
how
that works.
Organs were rotting from the inside out and I saved you. You're welcome.
But here's the thing.
If it wasn't for modern medicine, a.k.a. Dave Farah, you'd be dead. That's true.
We have, who was it? Was it Confucius or somebody similar to Confucius has said that most people live two lives, and the second life starts when they realize they only have one life.
Confucius say.
Yeah. Him or Yoda. One of the two.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
We're all going to die. Nobody's getting out of this alive. Have fun. Live your life.
Only one life you live. That's right.
That was pretty good.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
So you start dating somebody, and, you know, it's perfectly normal in this day and age to meet somebody online. You meet them through an app, whatever it may be. In fact, I'd say that's probably the most normal way that a lot of people that are in the dating scene right now do things. And sometimes you get surprised, right? Like, sometimes you just don't expect what you find. Warren on Facebook said, I, quote unquote, dated a chick for a couple of months. She said that she's divorced and had a kid. We actually met and hung out for a month before I was deployed to the desert. 3 weeks into the deployment, she confessed she was still married and had five kids with her husband, who just left the base that I got deployed to.
Oh,
needless to say,
no.
We parted ways.
Damn.
And it's a shame because she was a freak.
Oh, man. I mean, that's how she got five kids.
Yeah.
That's, you know, that's crazy because, you, like, in the military, adultery is, like, seriously, like, if you're an enlisted member and you're committing adultery with another enlisted member's wife or vice versa, man, that can be some real bad stuff for your career. Like, that could, like, really put you in a jam.
Yeah, but, I mean, he didn't know.
No, I'm saying, that's why he cut it off, because he's like, yeah, this is real bad news. Also, if you're lying about, like, a bonus four kids, that's a little much as well.
Yeah, like, how do you, I mean, five kids, how do you hide that, right?
I don't know.
No, I'll meet you at your place.
No, that's just a soccer team that follows me around constantly.
Dana said the pick of his, area... was not the same one that he had in his pants. So he sent a pic of something.
Oh, no. He's dog fishing? You can't dog fish?
He is out there sending out fake pictures of his
somebody
junk?
Else's.
To be fair, if somebody really requested a photo of my junk, and I'm not ashamed of my junk. It is what it is, you know. Not
sure.
But... There's
angles.
Well, there's angles. I'm the Ansel Adams of dong photography. My own of self dong photography. You create the backdrop, but necessarily like if you do that and you think somebody may blackmail you later on down the road, what's the harm in sending a fake one then? Right? Like, you can't prove that's my
it,
my
it
junk.
It can't be like significantly larger.
No,
than
but
yours.
He's trying to find ones that match up. Right? Because you don't want to, like, disappoint.
It was a good day.
Oh, my God.
It was warm that day.
It was strong. Feeling strong. Doing some workouts.
Blood flow was good.
Oh, man. Let's quit.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Online dating surprises, you can text us at 73100 on social media at Dave Mahoney. Got some more good ones coming in.
Oof. I mean, that.
Think about some girls doing like the same thing.
It's a high level move. High level move.
It's noticeable.
107.5.
So, have you ever gotten an online dating surprise? Yes, you can text us at 73100 on social media at Dave Mahoney. You know, you meet somebody and you're just starting to get to know them. You decide that you're going to meet up maybe for the first time, and then all of a sudden, little extra something. Like, for example, the Tory on Twitter, at Dave Mahoney, said, went out for the first time, and the girl brought both her kids.
Oh, whoa.
Couldn't get a babysitter. Better than leaving them at home alone.
Or just maybe reschedule.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's
you got to put it out
there, man.
I mean, put him down to bed and, like, maybe come over for dinner or something. There's options.
I'm not mad at that. You know, if she's up front, like, these are my kids and we do a lot of stuff together, and I need somebody
maybe
who's willing
say
to
say that before.
Sounds
you
like
meet
he was
up.
A little shocked.
I mean, yeah, I think you should probably, like, lead with that, not just spring it on them. But I'm not mad at that one. Here's an interesting one on our text line at 73100. So I met this woman off a dating app at a bar. It was a fun time, but we just didn't click. I ended up getting set up on a blind date a few weeks later, and it turns out it was the same woman, but she went by a different name than what I knew her as.
So that seems to me like she knew round two who she was going to get met, like, who she was going to go on this date with. Like, she knew the name. He didn't change his name. You know what I mean? Like, it sounds like she was just, like, coming back for seconds and was being super crazy about it.
I didn't even think about that. I was just thinking she was, like, doing some sly stuff down on the...
She could have been
I'm not mad at you if you're, like, you know, go... I think it's scary meeting people online. I think it is. I think the stigma... We should remove the stigma of because online dating has basically been around for 20 years almost at this point. And there,
for sure it has.
But there is a little bit of a stigma. I think maybe with an older generation, there's, I don't know what it is with like your girlfriends. Is there a stigma at all, Audrey?
With online dating?
Yeah.
No, they're all engaged in the online dating world,
is
right?
But is it Tinder? Is it Bumble, Hinge?
All of them.
All of them?
Yeah. Like, there are certain ones that you get certain results from.
Uh-huh.
So Bumble is cool because it's the, you know, it's kind of like you're out there and you're the one who is putting yourself out there. You're making the first move,
okay,
right? Tinder's just like the hey, let's hook up thing.
Uh-huh.
And then Hinge apparently is the one where you're actually wanting to go on a date.
But I feel like every dude in the world looks at like all of those, like all his hookup apps, though.
Well, yeah.
I would hope maybe somebody out there.
Even the dudes on like Christian Mingle are like trying to just like swoop in and
course,
get laid.
Because I mean, of course, ultimately, and women too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people who at the end of the date, you know, we'll get the freak on a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe after the freak on, there's a second date.
Maybe.
Possibly. I don't know.
Okay.
Depends how
the freak on was, I suppose.
Exactly.
Jenny said, I went out with a guy that I met online, and after a little bit of discussion, realized that he actually thought the earth was flat.
There's a lot of flat earthers out there. What is up?
These people and the people who think vaccines are bad. Oh, God, you're the worst. Luckily, hopefully, I wouldn't have a problem. Like, I don't have a problem with flat earthers because you're not hurting anybody. Nobody's being hurt other than, you know, you're letting me know just how stupid you are. And I appreciate that, you know, but the vaccines on the other side, you know, hey, you know, when we beat measles and the mumps and rubella and whooping cough? Yeah, I remember the 80s and the 90s. Those were cool times. Thanks, guys.
Melissa said I went out with a guy, and then I realized that he was a Scientologist. That's pretty pretty heavy one.
My wife's watching that Leah Remedy show on whatever it was on. She's like obsessed with it, like was like binge watching it like crazy. Watch that and watch Going Clear. It's it's an interesting watch, that's for sure. On our text line, this one may be the most bizarre at 73100. This one's from Scott. He said my ex girlfriend's mom told me that she killed her last boyfriend and got away with it.
What?
She liked me and didn't want the same to happen to me. This was 23 years ago. So I think this is, I don't know if like his ex-girlfriend that he was dating was a murderer or if this was just the mom's way of meddling to try to like
get him out of the picture.
Blow up the relationship.
Yeah, it's like the one, but it's like Dave's relationship like with your high school and college girlfriend whose mom said that she was cheating on you. Are you sure that she wasn't cheating on that she really wasn't just trying to get you to get the hell out of there?
Well, maybe she was. Maybe it was a dual purpose, but the no, that girl was definitely a whore.
Oh, okay. Fair.
Let it go, Dave. It's fine.
He didn't bring it up. That was me bringing it up. Just equating the two.
What about this one? Bill said, I was 26 and she was 23, visited her several times, even met her family. Couldn't figure out why they hated me so much. After a year, I moved to Montana and figured out why they hated me so much. It's because she had just barely turned 18 and graduated high school. She lied to me about her age the entire time.
But, I mean, she's 18, so whatever.
He's a 26-year-old or 25-year-old at the time dating a girl who's...
Once you're an adult, though, you know, 26 and 18 is not that big of a difference.
I was a totally different person at 18 than I was when I was 26.
A 26-year-old dude is basically like an 18-year-old woman. Men mature way slower than women.
That's like an adult 20-year-old.
No, really? At 26? Dave, were you an adult at 26?
Still not an adult now.
Yeah, Ian's barely, you were 26 when you started working for us.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
But I'm saying, I'm 28. I look at 18-year-olds, and they look like babies.
But not when you were 26, though. When you were 26.
They're babies, man. 26 and 18 is way too big of a gap.
Whatever, man. You're an adult.
Yeah, get your life together.
Even 21 is still pretty young.
You guys are just Puritans.
Puritans.
If you're 18,
you're talking about creepy Mooney? Like, stop hooking up with 18-year-olds.
I'm not. Personally, I don't want to date anybody who's not in the
same. Stay away from
Mahoney.
He's
going to
drag you into a basement.
I have nothing in common with an 18-year-old.
Ooh,
Greg, you went to a basement.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
I've told you this many times. I will not date somebody who is not within like a 2 or 3 year span of me.
Mahoney.
Never. I never would have. You got to have the same comedy chops as I do. Same experience. I hate you all. Was ill on you. Not a creep.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
So, an online dating surprise. You're dating somebody, you meet them, everything's going great, you're chatting through whatever app that you're on or whatever website, and you meet up, and then the surprises start coming. How about this one on Twitter, at Dave Mahoney, a Mormon guy that was into BDSM, who disclosed that on date number one, that him and his wife got divorced because she was scared of him.
Ooh.
Super.
I mean, if you've got a kink that you're into, I'm not mad if you lead with it. You know?
That's fair.
Because I feel like, you know, I'm going to put this out there. I don't want to waste your time. If you're not into this sort of stuff, then, you know, we can go our separate ways. Like, I'm not mad. Like, I know there's... I don't know, when we were younger, that I know there was a lot of guys who would get freaked out when somebody would start talking about, like, yeah, I want to be married and I want to have kids, and you're talking about that on the first date. I actually think that's a great way to lead things off. You know, I mean, talk about other things too, but if that's what you want, you should be upfront about what you want in a relationship.
Chantel said a very large white gentleman sent a picture of a very fit and well-endowed black gentleman. He preached at me, I'm a very large white girl, to join him at the gym, and he promised, quote, fun rewards if I started going with him. Finally, I agreed to meet for coffee and discovered that, hey, you're not the same guy from the photo. You're not a very fit black guy at all. You are a very large white guy. And also figured out that he was not employed, and he got a ride to the coffee shop from his mom, who was waiting in the parking lot.
Wow. That's straight up catfish.
That is bizarre. Interesting one on our text line at 73100. Went on a date with a woman, and it was like that scene from the movie The Ugly Truth, which I don't know if anybody has ever seen that movie or not. He said, she had my credit score, house info, how much it was worth, and a lot more personal stuff like where I grew up, schools I went to. Don't know how she got all the info, because we didn't really get involved in all that stuff because it was so early. It was super, super creepy. Would you be... I saw her pull out all those papers when I went to the bathroom. I never came back. Would you be, like, I mean, I get that you should always do your due diligence on stuff like that, but...
Wait,
like,
he saw her pull out the papers and just assumed that that's what they were, or...
I don't know, but, like, if somebody
had... Maybe she had, like, work with her? Oh, my God.
Like, did you, like, if somebody runs my credit score on a first date, good on you, because you're going to know, like, you know I'm broke.
How about this one? Christina said, when we met, he cried because I didn't bring him flowers. Then he cried at the movie theater, then cried when I overfilled my Sprite and some spilled out of the cup, and then cried that I didn't believe him when he said he had a large...
Dang.
That is four cries on the first date. Kick ass.
I mean, is it four cries, or is that just one long extended sob? He's still talking. He's still got that little...
And now your Sprite has spilled.
Dang. Got a comment, complaint, or opinion for the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show? Leave the good stuff on our voicemail at 702-889-7352. Again, 702-889-7352.
Please leave a message after the tone.
So the Area 51 raid was a complete and total fail. And do any of you have any ideas on what people should attempt to raid next, but maybe not in such an anticlimactic way, like this time they, you know, actually show up and go?
Message deleted.
A fridge?
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, the raid Area 51 was perfect. The way that it all went down was so delightful to watch, at least for me. I really enjoyed it. I don't know how you guys felt about it, but the fact that they promised to throw this huge, raging party in the desert and nobody showed up, it was just delightful.
So maybe when people say things on the internet, they don't really mean they're going to follow through with them, huh? You mean like
maybe
all the
talk a little bit bigger game than they actually
all the outrage that we see on the internet, huh? Maybe that's just a bunch of hot air or a hot digital zeros and ones that we're seeing. You know what you should raid next? You should raid a library, you dumbasses. That's what you should raid next.
Damn.
Anybody who went to that, you morons.
Just got dissed by Mahoney.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, Dave, Mahoney, Audrey, and that other guy who I don't like.
His name is Ian.
I'm just joking, Ian. You're cool.
Thanks,
what's
bro.
The worst place that any of you have ever been stung by a bee? Bees suck.
Message deleted.
I haven't been stung by a bee in probably 20-plus years.
No, me either.
I can't tell you the last time.
But you know what's cute?
What?
Whenever those dogs get stung by bees and their faces get all inflated.
Yeah, they eat a bee.
Poor dogs.
I mean, yes, poor dogs. Like, I'm not sitting here, like, wishing that upon any animal.
No, but when it happens.
It's so cute they get all
squishy.
You're
like, oh, this is Frank. He ate a bee.
He's still smiling.
My name is Frank.
Does my face look swollen?
Yes. Please leave a message after the tone.
So, when you guys met your significant others for the first time, did they take a liking to you at first meeting, like when you first said hi to them or when you were introduced to them? Did they like you off the bat? Was there any awkwardness?
Message deleted.
Yeah, it's always a little awkward at first, right? You gotta work your way through that, but I remember the first time that I saw my wife, it was definitely love at first sight.
You were a creep,
me,
Dave.
Not, she was working. Not for her so much. Yeah, she was working.
She was working. So you were a creepy-ass old man.
That's right.
She was just there trying to manage the bar, do her job, and then you swoop in drunk, day drunk.
I wasn't drunk.
You were day drunk. You were eating.
Were you drinking some mimosas? Were you mimosas?
I was having a meeting with my friend Matt, and we were at the
Your meetings with Matt
bar.
Are you and him drinking, eating chicken wings.
Yeah, we still got stuff done.
Oh.
I got a wife and kids out of it.
It's the adult way of saying we were just having some booze on a Saturday.
If you still say it's
make
a
you less
meeting,
of a creep.
Though, it's a little less creepy and a little less day drunky if you talk about business at some point during it.
Audrey, you and your husband went to University of Kentucky together, right?
Yeah, we
did. That's where you met?
Yeah, we met in a classroom, science class, where we had to weigh dirt every day.
It wasn't biology?
It's pretty hot.
No,
it was ecology.
Come on, just say chemistry for the sake of it. Come on, guys. That was set up right there.
Sorry,
come on.
Sorry. Well, he was like a drug dealer at the time, so I was like, dude, you're really weighing that dirt really well. How about grass? You good at that, too? Let's get the scales.
That's how every truth. Are you going to tell that to your kids someday?
I was
love. You want to see my beaker?
He also failed that class, so I was really putting a lot of good faith into this man. Yes, love. Love at first sight.
And what about you? We've never really talked about how you met your girlfriend.
Our story is actually really creepy. I went to go develop photos at a Walgreens in Wisconsin, and there was a very cute girl behind the counter, and we flirted. I left, and then a couple of days later, she searched for my information and found me on Facebook. And was like, hey, you're
really?
The cute guy who
Hell
came
yeah.
in. And I was
she
like,
slid
I was like,
into those DMs.
I was like, customer service on point. Thank you, Walgreens. Yeah.
She's like, did she slide some photos into the photos
you
were developing?
You know it. And the rest is history.
Okay. So. I wish it was that easy, man. Like, what day? Like, that never happens to anybody else. It's like, I was drunk, saw my wife in a bar. She was gorgeous. I was drunk as hell, made a fool of myself, and then took like 3 months of me trying to convince her to go out with me.
Yeah, but you also don't act like I'm creepy because I met my wife at a bar. Like, you.
She wasn't working.
I know you stalked her on Facebook.
Damn
you
sure
tracked
I
her
did.
Down.
Damn right.
Well, I met Andrew technically in the bar, too.
God, we need to stop drinking.
KFT-FM HD1, Pahrump, Las Vegas. A radio.com station. Broadcasting live from the Fidley Chevrolet Studios. Home of the Woo! This is the David Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
So we're going to do a beer for breakfast today? Speaking of beers.
Yeah, we got the Bell's Porter. It's a classic and not too bad. It's only like 5-6%, so not too bad. So
chuggable.
Glitz, glamour, fame, scandal, weight loss tea? It's Pop Trash.
So if you were a fan of Sons of Anarchy or the spinoff Mayans on FX, and you probably are familiar with Kurt Sutter, he is the guy that is behind those shows. He has been fired from FX, which is a bit of a surprise considering that he had, you know, one of the biggest hits for FX in years with Sons of Anarchy.
He did The Shield,
too.
There's
some of the popular shows. What's that?
He was on The Shield, too. He helped write The Shield and produced it last two seasons.
He got fired because he's kind of a wanker to people. And he actually described himself as an abrasive D.
That's not why he got fired,
dismissal.
Though. I think that's what they're saying. But the reason he got fired is because it's not like you just magically become an ass overnight and start treating people horribly. You know, I imagine that was going on through the entire career. It's just that he doesn't have a hit on his hands anymore. Mayans isn't doing anything close to what The Shield or what Sons of Anarchy has done. And so they don't think that he's worth the money, and they don't think it's worth the headache anymore. So say for what it is. Don't say he got fired because he's a jerk. Say fired because he's not making the money for you that you want him to make, and he's a jerk.
Right. Yeah. I mean, people will tolerate a lot if you're making them money.
Absolutely.
Too much.
It is said that he was very unprofessional in the office. And like you said, all of a sudden he doesn't have a huge hit show on his hands. And so they said, okay, you're out. There's another guy named Elgin James who created Mayans along with Sutter. And he already said that James would be in control of the day-to-day duties should it get a third season. But like you said, Mayans not nearly the hit that Sons of Anarchy was.
Not quite.
Just goes to show that being nice can get you a little far in life. Just be nice.
If you're not
write a hit show. Write a hit show, then act however you want.
Well,
if you're
that too.
No, but if she's right, Dave. If you are likable, that is so much. You have so much more job security if you are likable than if you are not likable. You know, it's like, I mean, it's nobody wants to fire somebody that they're friends with and or who they like. If you're an ass, of course people are gonna want to fire you. Why do you think I've been fired so many times? Dragging it down with me, all you.
Speaking
that.
I'm nice. The same thing. being a part of a hit show and getting away with all kinds of stuff as a result of it. Matt Lauer. I mean, we all know about the story with that little button that he had that would lock the door in his office.
Terrifying.
That was underneath his desk. That obviously had to be installed, and it was very apparent to everyone in the office. But they let him get away with it for however long. Sources disclose that between 2001 and 2008, the network was dealing with a string of complaints, quote, confidentially. And a former senior executive said that, there was none of them that involved Matt Lauer, but people at the network said that was definitely not the case. A former executive with knowledge of the complaints and their outcomes characterized them as Matt Lauer being a creepy old man and a poor, lovesick supervising manager that was preying on people. So NBC is defending the way that they handled the whole Matt Lauer thing, but a lot of people saying they let it go on for way too long. Which, yeah.
How do you hear about something like that and then not question, hey, Matt, what do you need a button underneath your desk for in order for your door to close? Can you not just close the door? What? Like, that is the creepiest thing. How do you not ask questions?
I think they just don't care. He was making them so much money. He was so popular. I mean, the ratings for the Today Show with Matt Lauer always beat Good Morning America. I mean, just trounced them for, you know, two decades straight. The thing that I don't understand, when you're rich like Matt Lauer is and you have that kind of power, why are you just preying on people in your building? I don't care that he was cheating on his wife. Whatever, man. I don't feel like that should have any ramifications on his actual job. But, like, when you start hooking up with people who are below you and you're their, you know, could be their manager, you have a position of power over.
You start preying on people.
You have a position of power over them. That's where I have a problem. Like, why aren't you just going out and hooking up with the thousands of hoardy moms who are watching you at home?
Because he doesn't have control in that.
But sure you
do. Yeah, exactly. Because he has control over the people that are under him at the network, right?
It's not like to say he didn't have fans. I think he would have plenty of people who would throw themselves at somebody because he's famous.
But
in
he
and of
didn't
itself.
Have control over them, like selling him out, right? So if the people at the network decided to turn on him, then he would get him fired.
Job
like
security.
That's the idea.
That's
right?
Why you bring an NDA with you, man.
NDA.
you're gonna need to sign this. That's that's the way a lot of celebrities are going. Look at John Cena. Like, John Cena made Nikki Bella, who is a huge star in her own right, sign a relationship NDA. Like, could you imagine that? I mean, but that's the way it's going, considering that everybody's looking.
I just feel like that means he has a small one for sure, right?
You think so? I think he's just private. Doesn't want his relationship. Like, I don't.
I can understand that.
I don't want my relationship. I'm not famous, and I don't want my relationship to be talked about on air. You know, like, or if we were to break up, like, if my wife and I were to get divorced, you would hear very little about it because it's.
But, like, that's the thing is, like, you gotta date the right people and you gotta marry the right people.
Yeah, but everybody thinks they're marrying the right person the first time around, too, you know? I mean,
No. I totally disagree with that. I think a lot of people make bad decisions because it's fun.
You think so?
Like, you've never been with someone you're like, there is no way that this is gonna work out. Because I certainly have.
Never thought about marrying them. Ever.
Well, that's part
of the relationship agreements that are being written.
Or really even dating them seriously. It's, we could have our fun, and then we can go our separate ways.
Well, that's the whole point of the agreement that they're having to sign, right? Like, don't tell our, like, little fun escapades.
Don't sell this to the National Enquirer, please.
That's the whole point of the written agreement.
Well, that's what John Cena wants to avoid, because he's got...
That feels very, very transactional.
I think he's just into some kinky stuff. That's what I think. I don't think he's not packing heat. I feel like he is into just some weird stuff, and he's got a image to uphold.
You think he's into some freaky stuff?
Maybe he likes it when she starts... she starts packing some heat.
Yeah. All right. He got the strap.
You can't see this. You couldn't see it.
It's a new belt I haven't seen before. 13-time champ. There we go, baby.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Yeah, you can't see me. You can't see
it. It's because you're behind me.
Oh, boy. Whatever, man. Get your freak on. Whatever. Just so I ain't hurt nobody else.
I need to buy a new pillow.
The David Mahoney Morning Show presents The Internet is Awesome.
So every week we like to take a look at some of our favorite audio clips that we have played during the course of that week. And no different here. We got some really good ones to share with you today. And we're going to start here with one that has a guy. It's a cop talking about this dude who kept calling 911 because his roommate stole his weed.
This is in Florida, where
it's not legal to have recreational weed.
I don't know why everybody is, like, piling on this guy, because, yes, weed is illegal, but smoking weed versus being a thief, two completely different things. One is harmless. The other one is thieves are horrible. You know, so, like, everybody who's making fun of this guy, I think you need to think about that. Like, he was robbed. He's the victim here, and you're victim-shaming him.
Says the guy that victim shames everyone. That's all you ever do.
Whatever. You over there playing the victim again.
The guy's calling in saying his roommate stole his weed, $20 worth, and he's upset. So he keeps calling 911. So I got to give him a call to tell him to stop calling about his weed. Going back to the guy calling in to report his drugs stolen, I called him to let him know not to call the sheriff's office and report his drugs. And he started to freak out a little bit on the phone and then hung up on me shortly after.
I will say, probably not a 911, maybe a 311, go down to the station, fill out a report.
It's $20 worth of weed, man. I mean, just, you know, chalk it up as a loss.
It's his last $20 worth of weed, man.
Fair enough. So in this case, there was a golfer, Scheffler, that was teeing off, and there was somebody that was talking during his backswing, and he lost his cool. So this happens from time to time where, you know, somebody talks or a cell phone rings or something like that, and obviously golfers don't like it, but come on, man, get your stuff together. If you're a professional golfer, you should be able to deal with some adversity. In this case, though, he let the fan hear it.
And Scotty Scheffler on the tee. See if he tries to play a little cut in there.
He's a one under. 5 minutes, man?
Right in the middle of my swing.
That sounds like somebody got him in the middle of his swing.
Doesn't he sound like a little bitch right there?
He does. Sounds like a whiny kid.
Right in the middle of my swing.
Yes, man.
Right in the middle of my swing.
Boo-hoo.
I would like to be a golfer.
Paid millions of dollars to play a game.
Scotty Scheffler's not making millions of dollars. He's making good
money. Over the course of his career.
Maybe. Yeah, it's like saying, like, over the course of, like, 40 years of me working, I'll make $1 million. Cool.
No, you won't.
Probably not. I would like to commentate golf, though. I feel like that would be, you know, like, because all you do, you just,
whisper. You don't have to feign excitement for things that aren't really that exciting. You're just like, oh, nice shot. Oh, my.
Scheffler's acting like a little bitch again.
Ooh.
Somebody talked in his backswing.
Did somebody see his wife over there? She looks great.
Scotty Scheffler is a bitch. Boy, listen to him yell. He's really getting after it.
I will say butts do look great in golf clothes on men and women.
Yes, they do.
Really hook
real
the
perky
curves.
Butt you have there.
They do. My ass looks phenomenal in golf pants.
It does.
Doesn't look what? My jeans, horrible. But in golf pants, yeah.
Do you poke it out a little bit when you get your swing going,
just
too?
Just
poke it out.
Get a little waggle. A little
arch in your back.
He's just standing there. You're like, hey, bro, can you tee off? We all see that your butt looks good. Can you just go?
Don't be jealous.
The apple bottoms of golf wear.
That's right.
So this is a contestant on Wheel of Fortune. You know, they asked the people a little bit about themselves, and this guy was not shy about the fact that he hates his family.
Hello, Blair.
Hello.
Blair Davis, Cardiff, California. Own the trucking business, it says here.
Own the trucking business in San Diego.
Good for you. And talk about your family.
I've been trapped in a loveless marriage for the last 12 years to an old battle axe named Kim. She cursed my life with three stepchildren named Star, RJ, and Ryan, and I have one rotten grandson.
I don't think he's lying about the stepkids, though.
Yeah. By the way, as far as a descriptor, calling somebody an old battle axe is pretty quality stuff.
I think an old battle axe would be cool, though, right? I feel like that's not an insult. That's not an insult.
Yeah.
I mean, I would not enjoy being called an old, decrepit battle axe.
He didn't say decrepit. He said old battle axe, which means it's got some history to it. It's seen some stuff.
I don't want all my fine lines and curves divulged on Wheel of Fortune.
Mm-hmm. Which, how is Wheel of Fortune still a thing?
Vanna White looks awesome. Watch the other day.
It's a good game. I really like it.
I don't know. I feel
Do you know that they record a lot of those episodes, or at least they used to when they were hammered?
Yeah, they would get
drunk. Talk about
shows.
How they would go across the street to this Mexican joint when they were filming, because they film a bunch of episodes at the same time, and they would go get schnockered on margaritas and then come back and keep filming. But they were drunk for a lot of the
episodes.
Just a shame
that Pat Sajak sucks so hard right now. He is the worst. He's just become an angry old man. Just hates everything.
I mean, he's always come across like a douchebag. But
like Pat, you're
it's
a fake weatherman. Legit, that's what he was doing before he was on Wheel of Fortune. He wasn't even a meteorologist. He was just a guy who presented the news because he looks like an elf. Didn't get that Lucky Charms endorsement.
Oh man. So this is a relationship gone south. There was a husband and a wife and a mistress, and the husband decided that he wanted to go live with the mistress instead, and things got really bad. Well, one thing led to another, and it turned into this high-speed chase on the road. He was on a motorcycle. The mistress knocked him off of his motorcycle. He went flying across the road, and then the mistress and the wife started fighting again all in the middle of the road in Oklahoma. And we have some audio.
Dave, you could have summed that up. It's swinging hillbillies who are swinging at each other. That's what's going on in this audio clip.
Well, there's a wreck south of Waukama. It's about 2 miles, and there's people beating each other up on the side of the road in the median.
There's people beating each other up?
Oh, my God. Everybody, this is a wreck on Highway 81. They're beating each other up.
She jumped on her like a spider monkey and just took her to the ground. I mean, and she's just beating the snot out of her. And she's delivering these hammer fist blows to Amanda's face, just rocking her world. Oh, I get it. It's like some Jerry Springer.
That is the best thing ever. Jumped on her like a spider monkey beating snot out of her.
Face just, yeah, I mean, I just it. Rocking her world. Oh, I get it. It's like some Jerry Springer.
And finally, and the internet is awesome, and this really is an example of the internet and how wonderful it is. A crackhead fell into a storm drain.
No, he crawled in. He crawled in.
Oh, he crawled into a manhole, and he was stuck down there. So He ended up getting stuck in the storm drain, and some guy walked up and pulled out his phone and started recording. And the crackhead was not only singing Amazing Grace, but also mistook him for his friend Derek.
And the guy who's recording, the other voice on this, which you'll be able to figure out who's not the crackhead real quick, so angry. And he's taking this so personally, and I love how upset he is with this crackhead stuck in the sewer singing Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace.
Look at this. This is nuts. Yeah, dog, you in the gutter, man.
You ain't kidding.
What the you doing?
I don't know, bro. I was following instructions.
There ain't no instructions here, man.
I'm gonna get out.
You're stuck, man.
Is it Derek?
No, it ain't Derek, man.
You look like my buddy Derek.
Well, I ain't your buddy. Guess I am tonight, man. You, man.
And that, kids, is why we don't do meth or crack.
Yes.
Derek? That's Derek?
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Every time they say, I'm not your buddy, friend, I always just think of that one South Park clip. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
You don't watch South Park?
Watch me.
Oh, my God.
Let's get to the news. It's top stories.
So I would highly encourage you to go to our Twitter or our Instagram at David Mahoney, because you have got to see a picture of this dude who is the owner of the Can-Can Room. He had to appear in court because he is accused of running a brothel out of his strip club. And he has got a bottom mustache. If you don't know what that is, I've never seen one before. But, you know, the mustache over the lip. He also has a mustache under the lip. He's got a
Do
little.
You call that a mustache?
It really is just like a perfect form of hair around his lip hole.
You
have got to see. I mean, it's I can't even describe how awesome this guy is.
Think about John Waters. And do you know who Ken Burns is, Dave? The famous documentary guy for PBS. Have you ever seen him? Google.
No.
I know Ian knows who Ken Burns is. Google Ken Burns. Look at his hair. It's like if John Waters and Ken Burns had a baby. And they had this guy. This would be their horrible offspring that occurred after that.
So, yeah, he's accused of running a brothel out of the strip club. And this guy, I just could not believe that it was real life whenever I initially saw the picture of this dude. It is something else.
It's so bad. And I honestly thought he was wearing black lipstick and it just kind of like smudged.
I believe he has a ponytail as well. If you look closely,
it's,
there may be a
actually
ponytail
it's in the back. It's a little known law that here in Nevada, to own a strip club, you must have a ponytail. I'm pretty sure that's.
I totally get it.
The pony stat.
Brandon just immediately DM'd us and goes, "What in the world is that mouth stash? It's really bad."
Yeah, it's a nightmare fuel is another one that's another comment on the picture.
Oh, boy. Ian, have you ever been to the Can-Can Room?
No, I can't say I have been to the Can-Can Room.
And Justin said, there's my Movember inspiration. Yes. Thank you, Sam.
His hair looks like a wig, though. That can't be real.
No, of course not. Of course not.
How is that face
He looks
real?
Like a young, like, his hair looks like a young, like, boy from, like, 1812 pulled back.
David
oh,
said, that S is glorious, and somebody else, this is my sleep paralysis demon.
Oh, no.
Winky, winky. Oh, man, you got to see it. So,
so we're
at
all going
David
to the
Mahoney
can-can
on Twitter or Instagram.
We're all going
let's
to the can-can
go to the can-can room for lunch today.
All right, let's go.
For lunch, a lunch meeting.
Let's hit that buffet up.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
So maybe you need a little motivation. I mean, all of us can use a little pick-me-up, right? Just a little extra oomph after you have your cup of coffee for the day. You just need a little something to get you over that hump. Well, how about this? Wise words from the web. Now, there's people out there that want to offer encouragement. And there's some people that are very good at it. I mean, a lot of people make a great living being motivational speakers because they get people fired up. And then there's other people who think that they can do that, but really have no business being motivational speakers, but they still put it out there. And that's precisely what this is people that fancy themselves to be really good at giving advice. Unfortunately, nobody gave them the advice along the way that maybe you should leave that to the pros. These are wise words from the web.
It's time to get motivated. The Dave and Mahoney Morning Show presents Wise Words from the Web.
Hi, welcome to life. This is what life looks like these days. Oh, wait, I have to go pick up the kids. Wait. Let me rush home. Let me make dinner. I have to chop fast. I'm feeling a little bit anxious inside. Be where you're at in one thing and then move to something else consciously with your own energy, with your own presence. Then you're not just running from thing to thing and feeling stressed and anxious. You're in the moment. Try transitioning.
Not everything is how it seems. The girl who looks super pretty at school every day, well, everyone in her family is a model, so she's actually really ugly compared to them. And the guy who never has to go to the bathroom in school breaks the bowl every day right after school. So before you start complaining and depressed, think about that the grass isn't always greener.
When you woke up this morning, did you plan to do anything different with your life? Or are you just gonna do the same old thing that you do every other day? You gotta go out there. You could change something about your life every single day, even the most minuscule thing, and it'll add up. You can go on Amazon right now and purchase a hurdy-gurdy. Have that bitch delivered to your house Amazon Prime 2 days. You could go on YouTube and you could learn how to play the hurdy-gurdy. Everyone that you meet after that day, you would be the only person that they know that plays the f***ing hurdy-gurdy. How f***ing cool would that be?
That was another motivating edition of Dave and Mahoney's Wise Words from the Web.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Anybody else know what a hurdy-gurdy is?
I just looked it up. It just looks...
It's like a medieval instrument.
Like a meat processor. Instrument.
Ian, have you heard any hurdy-gurdy music?
Yes. Hurdy-gurdy, it's almost like a smaller kind of spinny guitar.
It looks like a meat processor.
Or a meat processor.
Also, the guy who was talking about, the guy who doesn't use the bathroom at school, is that something to be impressed by?
I was impressed by it.
He never uses the bathroom at school, ever.
He breaks the toilet when he gets home. The grass isn't always greener on the other side.
Thank you to Randy Spelling for that first clip also.
It's people whose lifetime goal is to own a fireworks stand. It's the Redneck Report.
So this is some next level stupid, and even the people at Royal Caribbean have agreed on that case. A passenger on a Royal Caribbean cruise has been slammed as a, quote, absolute idiot for recently climbing over a balcony railing to take a swimsuit selfie dangling over the ocean because she wanted a cool picture for the gram.
That's how you die and get left in the ocean.
That's how you die.
That's how you get left and, you know, you're going to float out there for hours and then a shark's going to eat your ass.
So the ship security had to race towards her and law enforcement ultimately got involved. She got taken off the ship at the next port of call because, of course, passengers are forbidden from sitting, standing, laying, or climbing on or over any exterior railing because they are protective barriers not meant for you to hold on to. While you are dangling off the side of the ship in order to get a picture for Instagram. Nobody cares about your dumb Instagram page.
Stop doing it for the gram, you idiots. I will say, as a frequent cruiser, I do love the cruising. I'm a Disney cruiser myself. But one of my biggest fears is getting super drunk and falling overboard.
That's a legitimate fear.
I feel like that. I don't feel like it's an unfounded fear. Because yeah.
No. You're top heavy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all my weight is gut up. I got a big ass head. I'll tip straight over, man, and I'm going straight in that ocean. I'm not even gonna try to swim though. I'm just gonna die. I'm just gonna let go. Just take me now. Take me into the depths.
Just sink like Jack at the end of Titanic.
Yep. There's plenty of room on that door, Rose. You're a selfish a-hole.
How did Mahoney die? He fell off the cruise ship. I was like, yeah, that checks out. That makes sense.
Yeah, seems about right.
Yeah, had a good run.
Died what he run. Loved
love,
doing.
Love that guy. Yep. So a couple is suing Taco Bell because they paid $12.18 for two Chalupa Cravings boxes. They were advertised on TV for $5 each, so it should have been $10 before tax. But no, it was $12.18, and they are for real suing because of this.
Did they get
false advertisement?
Like an upgrade? Did they like get a large Coke instead
nope.
of a?
Nope. They're suing the parent company of Taco Bell because you know Taco Bell itself doesn't have deep enough pockets. So Yum brand it is, and they actually have a lawyer who said that you can't say that you're going to charge someone $5 in big bold print and then take it away in the fine print disclaimer, even though that's how all of these
every
are.
Every commercial know, works.
Price and participation may vary, right? Exactly. Like you hear that constantly. In this case, they're suing because they're saying the $2.18 obviously was a big hit. The time wasted, you can't even put a value on that.
They can never trust again, Dave. I mean, they have lost their trust in humanity. Can you put a dollar amount on that? No, but
the lawsuit was initially filed in the Middlesex County Superior Court in August, and it was recently moved to federal court. So, wasting the court's time.
Where was it filed?
In New Jersey.
Middlesex?
New Jersey. Middlesex.
Middlesex.
Middlesex is how it's...
Middlesex?
Middlesex.
Is that what stuck in the middle with you from... is that what that song's about? That county? The New Jersey?
So Matthew Bushman, 36, of Mansfield, Illinois, is charged with obstruction justice. He was arrested on Friday night. Police say that on Wednesday they initially encountered him and they asked him what his name was because he was getting involved in some illegal activity. Mm-hmm. And he gave them a fake name, even though he has Matty B for Matthew Bushman, which is his real name, tattooed on his neck.
Brother.
Who hasn't given the cops a fake name before? I mean, like, let those of us who live in glass houses, we should not throw rocks.
That could have been his mama's name tattooed on him. Martha
Matty B.
This is short. It's a little nickname. She went by Maddie growing up.
Let's be honest here. We all know that I have given the police a fake name before.
Of course you have.
Do you remember when I got taken to the hospital? Do you remember?
You told them that your name was Dr. Go F Yourself.
Would you spell it like G off?
You don't know. No, Dr. Go F Yourself.
Oh, I get it.
DDS, MD. Ian, have you ever given a fake name?
All the time.
What is your go-to? Do you have a go-to?
Just recently, Jason Mahoney.
Son of a bitch.
But
going around telling everybody you're Mahoney.
It's okay.
They just tase you immediately.
Yep, you got a warrant. This checks out.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show on X107.5.
Whenever I go visit like houses, to like look at like those new like houses and stuff, those subdivision stuff, I always leave Dave Ferrer's email address.
Oh, I'm gonna sign you up for a pastor visit at the next church I go to.
I can use Jesus. All right.
All I wanna do is drink beer for breakfast.
It's a Friday.
All I wanna eat is them barbecue.
And you know what that means? It is time for us to drink. Dave left us for whatever reason. Decided, I'm done with the show.
He went to go get a pack of smokes.
He went to go get a pedicure, he told me. He said he's going to go get a pedicure. Apparently that's more important than drinking beer with his friends here today. But that's okay, because that means more beer for us. And today's beer that we're going to be featuring is a classic from Bell's Brewing called their Porter. It's just called the Bell's Porter. Mm. So it's, you know, really, really interesting name there out of Comstock, Michigan. Originally, I think it was founded back in like Kalamazoo about 30 years ago. So Bell's has been a kind of Midwest staple for a long time, and they've since expanded to both coasts. And I think they're pretty much everywhere nationwide at this point in time. But the Porter. Audrey, you're traditionally a big fan of the darker beers. You didn't like the IPA, the double IPA that we did last week. So I thought I would, you know what?
Thanks.
I was thinking of you when I went out to get this beer. The Bell's Brewing Porter has 5.6 alcohol by volume and 33 IBUs. Today being served from a single 12-ounce brown bottle that came in a six-pack. It did cost $10.99 for that six-pack. I really like the clean and simple packaging. It's a classic look. What did you say is on the front of this bottle?
It looks like a color story.
I don't know.
It like goes from the dark, like if you flip it over.
It's a
gradient, yeah. Right? But it looks like almost like the head. So it's like the beer, and then it gets lighter, kind of like the head on the beer.
Oh.
Oh. Oh. Look at you. I see what you did there.
I see what you did.
That's at least what I feel like it is anyways. Okay. I like a good story. That's what I do too.
It's just a very clean and simple packaging. I like it very much. The Bell's Porter is available year-round, and they recommend consuming this porter no later than 6 months after it was brewed. The beer that we're drinking right now is about 3 months old. Interesting that on Bell's website, they do list the calories and carbs per bottle. Would you care to find out how many calories are in this bottle, Audrey? Do you want to know, or should I keep
that a secret? Actually, I am, because I drink a lot of porter, so it might be nice to know how many calories are
what
I'm consuming.
This actually has quite a few calories for the amount of alcohol in it. It's 183 calories and 18 carbs per bottle, but it's a very rich, flavorful bottles of beer, so that doesn't surprise me too much. Proper glassware. Serve this out of a pint glass or a nonic. I like this anywhere between 45 and 50 degrees Fahrenheit. Sometimes you can push porters or stouts up to 55 degrees, but since this one has a little bit less alcohol in it, I like this one between 45 and 50 degrees Fahrenheit. The five categories in which we rate every single beer on Beer for Breakfast: look, smell, taste, feel, and drinkability. Let's all cheers, you know?
We've had
a good week. Dave's not here. He left us, that whore and son of a bitch.
Woo.
And we're going to drink all this beer without him. All the slurping we can handle. Isn't that right, Ian?
Oh, yeah.
Without anybody here to judge us for how we like to drink.
Wow. Oh, me when I'm drinking.
Actually, can you hand me that bottle opener? Because I've already finished one. I need to open up this.
Okay. Oh, God.
Don't throw it with the pointy.
Whoa.
Just hand it here.
Guys. We good? We got it?
It's like one of those ones that you would put, it's a bottle opener like you would put on a refrigerator, yes. You know, that's got that like the can. It's got the can opener, and she's like going to javelin throw it at me. And I'm like,
well, I have beer in front of me, and I'm going to like lean over. I'm in a white sweater. Come on.
She's so stabby when she drinks.
Just hand it to me. That's all I want. I just want some more beer. So when we're reviewing this,
you have an actual profile currently on your tongue.
That's right. So the look of the Bell's Porter. Ian, we will start with you.
Very dark. Very dark. Also, I really like the head on this one.
Mahoney, did you not like
that? No, it is. It's very
dark. It's just very dark.
That's a very it's a dark beer.
Right there. It's very dark. I like the head on it a lot. It reminds me of a root beer float.
It has
that kind of look to it.
It looks scary, but it absolutely is not. It pours like, this is like not so much a black. This is more a really deep, dark brown. And if you hold a direct light source to it, you get some crimson highlights in there. Two fingers of a light tan and somewhat fizzy or fluffy head that caps off this beer nicely. Mm. A decent amount of carbonation in this beer, which surprised me. I mean, you can't see it with your like normal eyes, but I took my cell phone flashlight and held it under there just to like.
Did you really?
Yeah, just because I give it a look. And you can actually see a decent amount of carbonation in there. Trace amounts of lacing down the side of my glass as I drink it down. Let's move on to the next category in Beer for Breakfast, the Bell's Brewing Porter. The smell.
She smells good.
Woo! Tell me what you're smelling over there, Audrey.
I'm smelling a lot of chocolate and coffee.
Yep.
On the back of the bottle, though, it says roasted barley.
Okay.
I don't really know what that's supposed to smell
malts
like.
Malts and barley are kind of like the same.
Like
you know, they smell similar. You know, if you burn it, you throw it in there, you roast it, and you give this kind of like a richness. It's almost like a rich aroma that comes from the malts and barley.
I will say this. It doesn't have like a particular smell that would make me differentiate it between another porter.
Yeah, it's not overwhelming. It's not a giant nose. It's kind of the two main flavors in there. You get coffee and you get chocolate. Yeah,
yeah.
It's not an off-putting nose by any stretch of the imagination. The next category on Beer for Breakfast, I said category.
He's one beer deep.
I'm just wondering.
He's a beer deep.
I said category, you son of a bitch.
Manigory.
Is the taste. I get excited. When we're going to drink. So let's all take another big drink of the Bell's Brewing Porter that we're featuring today.
would be Ian Slurp. We should do a slurp contest one day. See who's got the best slurp.
You know I'm going to win that one.
Yeah, you always do have the best slurp.
Ian, we'll start with you. Traditionally, you're not a big dark beer fan, right?
No, I really am not. I actually avoid them.
Okay.
But with this, I was pleasantly surprised at how easy drinking it really was. Not too heavy. The booze, not too present in the taste.
No.
I got to be honest with you, it was kind of almost bland to me. I need to take a couple of more sips. It,
on the first taste, you don't get a whole lot.
No.
I feel like you need to take a couple drinks of this. And you know, porters are traditionally beers that I feel like are overlooked. I was going back through my Beer for Breakfast archives over the last like 11, 12 years, and I've only done like maybe 6 or 7 porters.
What?
In that amount of time. Yeah, so less than one a year that we've featured. So, and if you know, porter is, again, you don't see them out there all that often. It's somewhere between a brown and a stout. And they, you know, that's how Bell's describes this one. They say it's a nice bridge. They describe it as a robust porter that kind of fills that hole between stouts and brown ales.
So, I agree with you, Ian.
What are you tasting?
Well,
do you like it or you not?
I do like it, okay. But I agree with kind of like the smell of it, that there's nothing that's like exceptionally making me feel like there's something like I would want to continue to like come back to this.
Uh-huh.
The only thing is that I'm a super fan of Guinness. Like Guinness in the fall, winter, spring is my go-to, like uh-huh. my chilling out kind of beer. I could probably substitute this for that because I could have a couple of these and not feel like that tinge that's porters and stout just kind of get in the back of your throat. Like it's like, okay, 2 and I'm done because yeah. they're so potent in flavor. Mm-hmm. This one's like a, I could probably finish three of them.
You look at
cool.
this and it's kind of like Guinness too, you know, because Guinness is like, what is
was
it?
Was that seriously
Jesus.
You or was that a drop?
Sorry about that.
Was that seriously wow. you?
This is making me really gassy.
Are you
I don't
kidding
know.
Me?
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Oh wow. my gosh.
I'll make it. It's okay.
I thought that was a drop.
The sound effect?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Sorry.
So I'm with you, Audrey. This is it's an easy drinking beer because like Guinness, a lot of people are like, oh God, it's so heavy. What? No, Guinness
it's
is not
heavy.
It's not heavy, and it's not high in ABV. It's like what the same ABV
it's
close
a
to is a Bud Light. This has a little bit more than that, and it's interesting because like I said, you know, when you think darker beers, you think darker, you know, you think higher ABV traditionally with stouts or
yeah.
you know imperial stouts, especially if you go down that one. This beer for me, the taste, you get a robust malt base. Good amount of coffee, much like the nose. A little bit of dark cocoa, like that bittersweet
like
chocolate.
Dark chocolate,
and
it does have
a bite on the end. There is a little bit of a bite on the end of this. So, like traditionally, you know, traditionally like stouts or even browns, they kind of finish a little bit smoother. And this one has a little bit of a bite right there. It's not quite medium bodied. I would call this crisp but smooth, even though I know those are contrasting right there. For me, this is a solid porter. It's great for those days when you want something a little bit richer, but you don't want to dive into those double digits and just get completely wrecked.
Yep.
It's 5.6% alcohol by volume. It drinks easy. It's tasty. Overall, it's a little pricey, but I would say this is a quality product. This is just a quality porter. And that doesn't blow me, it doesn't surprise me considering that Bell's has been around for close to 30 years. And this is one of those older, traditional, more traditional styles of beer that they, you know, haven't gone buck wild on. So this is the tried and true. This is old trusty over
here.
It is.
It's drinkable, which I think that with the past few stouts and porters that you've had, well, I guess just stouts,
they've been like 10%.
They've been 10%, and you can truly only drink like one or two of them. And really, at that point, like, what's the point?
Yeah,
I've already drink a lot of these and feel good.
I've already plowed through one of these so far, and getting ready to plow through the second. Can we get a drum roll, please, Ian? Oh, Mahoney's Beer Scale Supremacy. I get the Bell's Porter, a very solid 3.8 out of 5.
Catch the Dave and Mahoney Morning Show, weekdays 6 to 10 a.m. on X107.5.
All right, it is
KXTE-FM HD1, Pahrump, Las Vegas, a radio.com station. That's broadcasting cool. from the Findlay Chevrolet Studios.
Jump ahead.
Home of the woo.
Keep doing that.
We're excited.
X107.5.
Yeah, that's the radio station we work at. I'm glad that it jumped right ahead there. It's time for Know the Show.
It's Know the Show with Dave and Mahoney.
Your meetings with Matt bar. Are you and him. Eating
well,
chicken wings.
Yeah. We still got stuff done.
Oh.
I got a wife and kids out of it.
We want to know what Dave's meetings are. When Dave says he has a business meeting, what exactly is he doing? That's what we want to know. 791-1075. If you know the answer to today's Know the Show, we will hook you up with a pair of tickets to go see Hobo Johnson and the Lovemakers over there tonight over at the House of Blues. They're bringing on their fall tour that is happening tonight at the House of Blues, Hobo Johnson and the Lovemakers. And if you aren't familiar with Hobo Johnson and the Lovemakers, my favorite song from them right now, You got that, Ian?
I do.
It's a little song called Subaru Crosstrek.
I just bought a Subaru Crosstrek. I would have bought a Lambo, but I'm not quite there yet.
You would love that song.
It's a very economical, very reliable car, and I'm glad that Frank from Hobo Johnson decided to buy himself.
He's good. I like him a lot.
I like what those guys are doing. It's going to be a fun show tonight, and if you want to go see that and you know the answer to as what does Dave do at his business meetings, we will hook you up with those. Of course, that doesn't work. X1075, who is this?
Brent.
What does Dave do at his business meetings?
He gets drunk.
That is 100% correct. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. All right, man. You're going to go see Hobo Johnson tonight, and I think we should stick a hole in this show. It's done.
Way out in the land of the setting sun, where the wind blows wild and free, there's a lovely spot, just the only one, that means home sweet home to me. If you follow the old Kit Carson trail till the desert meets the hills, oh, you certainly will agree with me, it's the place of a thousand thrills. Home means Nevada, home means the hills, home means a sage in the pine. Out by the Truckee silvery rills, out where the sun always shines. Here is the land that I love the best, fairer than all I can see. She's deep in the heart of the Golden West. Home means Nevada to me. One more time now. Home means Nevada